And we are excited to be coming to you from the Pink Flamingos, your Jacksonville baseball team. What's that? Jumbo shrimp? You lied to me!
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out.
Welcome to Let's Get To, your tour of America through the lens of minor league baseball. Baseball from sea to shining sea. And now, the first pitch. Opening thoughts from James Christopher. Presented by BaseballMapper.com.
And welcome back to the first pitch. I am James Christopher. We're going to be right back out to Jacksonville because we have a lot of fun and a lot of surprises coming to you from Florida. But I have a question. Now, usually, I use this segment to talk about a topic, maybe educate a little bit if I can, if I humbly try. But I have a question. Why do kids today keep all the stickers on their hats? I don't get it. What am I missing? Can somebody please help me out with that?
On the St. Louis team, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out. I want you to tell me the names of the fellas on the St. Louis team.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
You know the fellas' names?
Yes.
Well, then who's playing first?
Yes.
I mean the fellas'
who's
names.
Who's on first?
Who?
The Let's
the
Get To team of the week.
Who? The guy on first base.
Who presented by the Baseball Bucket List Podcast.
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
So we are super excited to welcome Let's Get To You from the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp to talk a little bit about our visit coming up. Scott Kornberg, voice of the Jumbo Shrimp. Scott, how's it going?
Great. Thank you so much for having me on, Jim.
We're just excited. You guys are one of those iconic brands that have always been on our radar, and we're excited to finally get down there to see you guys. I want to talk a little bit about you, though. So just starting out, like, you obviously maybe go from a kid who likes baseball. How do you do that? And then you end up being a big part of one of the most iconic minor league baseball brands out there?
Luck, really. but yeah, I mean, I grew up loving baseball. It came from my dad and my grandma, really. And my dad is a huge New York Mets fan, so he's very happy this season. My grandma was a huge Yankees fan, so she would be very happy. But before that, my grandparents are Brooklyn Dodgers fans. And so I actually think that's a big part of the story for me because of the broadcasting aspect, is that they listened to Vin Scully when they were kids in Brooklyn in the borough. And that's where my dad was born. He moved to Long Island when he was pretty young. But, you know, somebody who loved baseball, I played it decently well. And then you always have that epiphany moment that, okay, like, I'm, you know, maybe I'm not good enough to be playing in the major leagues one day.
Right.
And that probably hit me in high school. And, you know, it wasn't a big deal. Like, I think I knew it was coming at some point, but my brother, every two younger brothers. So my older of the younger brothers actually was a very good baseball player. And he was playing on a team that made it to Babe Ruth World Series Cal Ripken World Series. So he was 10. Babe Ruth program, but at that time it's the Cal Ripken Leagues, and they played out in Louisiana. And the head coach of the team was Tom Verducci, and obviously that's Tom Verducci from like MLB Network and Sports Illustrated. And my dad said, why don't you talk to him and just see what his job is like? And this was when he was only writing. It was probably 2006, I think, and I was 15. And you know, I was very fortunate. He gave me, you know, few minutes to talk and kind of get a sense of what he did. And I was like, wow, he gets paid to go to baseball games. That's pretty darn cool. And I had, you know, I was such a nerd in growing up. Like, I would announce the games to myself. I'd be playing basketball in the driveway, like pretending it was, you know, like game six of the Eastern Conference Finals. I loved Michael Jordan, obviously. I loved Reggie Miller. So I'd always play like Pacers, Bulls. And then I was a Nets fan, so they had some good teams at that time. Anyway, but I would announce the games to myself. And then, you know, if we were playing with friends or my brothers in the backyard, like it was just a thing that I did and people seemed to like it. And so I actually, we went down to Louisiana for my brother's World Series, and I announced the games like into this little recorder. for the whole thing. I have them somewhere in my computer. They sound terrible. But, you know, from there, I was like, you know what, like, let's do this. And I looked at different schools that had good broadcasting programs and, that allowed you to do things right off the bat. Cause some of them, they make you wait, and that's
right.
Their philosophy, and that's fine. But I always thought that I get better by learning by doing. And the University of Maryland was kind of the perfect place for me. It was a bigger school, which I liked. It was far from home, but not far from home at the same time, where like no surprise visits from parents or whatever, but also like it was easy to get home if I wanted to. It's close to Washington, 8 miles away. It's close to Baltimore, so there's really like readily available internship opportunities, but also just to, you know, who wouldn't want to be near those cities? They're both awesome. Who wouldn't want to see a game at Camden Yards? It's that I know you go around. I think that's hopefully, you know, some of the top ranked ballparks that you've got. But anyway, you know, Maryland really helped me. I got involved with their student sports radio station, WMUC Sports, and it gave me experience and it gave me clips and allowed me to make mistakes and work with people and know how to prep and learn how to interview people while I was in college. And I think that was really a big step, because I think I had a decent leg up on some people. Other schools have that as well, but I thought I just had really good experience at Maryland to then take into the workforce. And, you know, from there, it's just about getting fortunate and, you know, getting into this field that you move around a lot. And so I grew up in New Jersey, but I moved from New Jersey to Maryland for school. First job was in North Carolina for a college summer league team called the High Point Thomasville High Toms. I went from there to Colgate University, which is in upstate New York. And all these jobs are for very little money.
Very little money, right?
Very little money. Only seasonal, right? You're only there a few months. And which is fine, because you want to keep climbing the ladder. And I said, like, I don't have a wife, I don't have kids. You know, this is the time to chase after this. So I was willing to do, you know, baseball in one spot for 6 months of the year. And then when the fall and the winter came, do college sports, you know, somewhere else. And so then spring of 2014, I got my first break into the minor leagues with the Quad Cities River Bandits, which is an incredible ballpark. Actually where I met my wife. So it was a better job even, you know, than just the actual job part, which was great. It was also amazing because I was really fortunate in my timing reaching out to schools that Western Illinois University was looking for a football basketball broadcaster. Here I was, fairly local, young, obviously pretty cheap, willing to drive the 90 minutes for a day of interviews. And, you know, they were saying like, you know, this kid's, you know, not good. Just won't hire him. But, you know, fortunately for me, they brought me on and I was their football basketball guy from 2014 to 2018. And then baseball wise, in Winston-Salem, another great ballpark in 2015. And then I got another big break, Myrtle Beach as their lead broadcaster for 2016 to 2018. Another really nice, good organization to work for, team to be with. And, you know, I think, for me, it was a lot of like relationships. Like I wouldn't have gotten that Myrtle Beach job without their previous broadcaster, Nathan Barnett, helping me, the guy who I worked under in Winston-Salem, Brian Bush, helping me. And then here in Jacksonville, the guy who hired me in Quad Cities was in Jacksonville and he left to go to Akron, which is our sister franchise. And they were looking for somebody, supposedly for whatever reason, the only person he recommended was myself. And, you know, again, like, that's what I say, luck, like it's not me being better than anybody else to be like really for a dream job in the minor leagues, right? Like this is an incredible organization. It's an amazing ballpark. It's a great city. The leadership on this team is fantastic. They're super supportive. They're always willing to lend an ear, to help, to really do whatever it takes to have a successful product to people. And, you know, I'm not better than anybody. I just, if you play this journey out 100 times, it would never play out like this again. I've just been really fortunate. And I just try to make sure I work as hard as possible to, because I know how lucky I am to be in this spot.
Well, I think the whole work ethic you're describing is why, sure, luck, but it's also,
hard work. I do like that story, though, of minor league baseball. It always does seem like people are always willing to reach out. It seems like a pretty small fraternal community.
It is. It really, you know, and it's surprising because, right, the teams are scattered all over the place. But, you know, like I'm in a big group chat right now with like all my broadcasting friends, and there's people up in Michigan, people down in Texas, people up in Wisconsin, people out west in Washington State. Obviously, I'm down in Florida. There's people in North Carolina. Like we're all over the place, but we all talk daily. And I think it's because probably of the camaraderie you have to have with people to work in minor league baseball. It is supposed to be a really family friendly operation. And I think I know we have that with Jacksonville. We pride ourselves on affordable family fun, and the people who you have to bring in to work in these roles, they have to care about other people, right? Like have to be people who are willing to be adventurous and to do anything, right? Cause I broadcast here, but I do a lot of other things.
Right.
And you have to be willing to say like, I'll try it. Like the people who say no, they only want to do one thing. They only want to broadcast it. You don't really last too long, I think, in baseball, because you're asked to do so many things outside of just your niche. And I think that's a good thing. Like I look and I think about my career, I'm sure my friends would say this too, is that I'm really grateful to have developed all these different skills in graphics and writing and here in Jacksonville sales a little bit, and amongst other things, because I, you know, no matter where I go now, I feel like I've got a great toolbox to draw from, and probably more importantly, confidence in myself that, you know, whatever I'm asked to do, I feel like I could learn and I could do it at a pretty decent level. And I think, you know, that's what draws people together here, is there's a lot of people in the minor leagues with open minds and who are willing to help out other people, because they wouldn't be in their positions without people helping them. So that's a great point you made.
Well, and it's funny because my business is independent film, and it's very, I'd sort of do this as a side gig, and the whole concept of wearing multiple hats is something I've always related to when I talk to you guys, because you can't just do one thing. Sometimes to get it done, you got to get it done.
You're right. Like if you have goals as an organization, right? And some of them are, you know, we need to hit these numbers. Some of them are, we want to have this sort of entertainment in our promotions. And some of them is, you know, from my perspective, is we want to have a good broadcast, or we want to have a really welcoming, you know, media relations output that people enjoy coming here to cover our team, and they're fed really good stories. And that doesn't all come from me. Like that comes from other people, right? Like I don't know everything going on in our food and beverage world,
right?
But I know I can go to our food and beverage team and be like, hey, like, what are some ideas you guys might have of something out of the box that we're doing that, you know, someone's coming here and they want to try a food item because they work for a food blog or whatever. And they know that we always seem to have really cool food items here at the ballpark, and they're willing to help me, or a promotions guy, like, hey, like what's something that we have coming up that, you know, maybe people can look forward to as fans and we could highlight on our social media or things of that nature. So absolutely. I think that all comes full circle for us, and especially in this role, right? Cause we're so reliant on other people in a media perspective, obviously, cause people are asking for interviews and whatnot, but also because we don't know everything. We don't have all the ideas, and we need to be able to work together. I think other people would say the same thing. Like our food and beverage team always asks us when we're on the road, like, hey, if you see anything interesting, like,
right,
you know, let us know. Like maybe we could, you know, do a take on something like that. And our promotions guy does the same thing to me. Like, hey, if you see anything interesting, any cool giveaways, like let me know. And like, you know, maybe we could do something similar, have our own little jumbo shrimp take. So it's a good give and take, I think, in our, especially with this team, but I think throughout minor league baseball.
I love it. All right. Clear your mind. You ready to play a little pepper?
I'm ready. Yeah.
Let's do it. All right. What is your go-to ballpark food?
Go-to ballpark food here. We have this outfielder sandwich. I'm actually not a fried food guy, but it is fried chicken, and it's in between two donuts. And they had this, like, it's actually amazing. This is, I think, why I like it. This hot and spicy sauce that goes on the chicken. So you got that perfect sweet and spicy. So I'm not a fried food guy, but that to me is pretty amazing.
I'll at least get one to have a bite for the, you know, for the show. All right. Are you a Marvel guy or a DC guy?
I'm actually not a huge comic book guy. I would say, I'm a University of Maryland alum. So, you know, Ninja Turtles, I don't know what umbrella they fall into, but if I had to go some sort of comic heroes, I'm going to go Ninja Turtles.
All right. Dogs or cats?
Definitely dogs.
Favorite team brand in minor league baseball that is not the Jumbo Shrimp?
That's a good, because I obviously would have said us. I think it's amazing. You know, I think this maybe is out of the box, but I'm going to go with Cedar Rapids Colonels. I love, obviously, the Colonels name, how it relates to Iowa. Love the ballpark. I think it's fantastic. I love even the logo, how they've got the corn stalk shaped in the K. You know, it's not one of the newer ones, but I think what makes the Jumbo Shrimp work and the Colonels work is that there is a local tie-in to those.
Uh-huh.
And they're not like, like, is the Jumbo Shrimp, people would say, is it a crazy name? Like, yeah, but it's relatable, right? Like, some of the other ones I think are almost too over the top, and it's hard to relate to some of them.
There's definitely a balance. You have to find a balance.
And I think we hit on it. I mean, Cedar Rapids, I think, certainly hits on it for the area. I love their logo and their stuff. So I'm gonna say that's an off the beaten path one, but that's one of my favorites.
My only issue with them, and my wife pointed it out, we were there last year, they do not serve any like elote or any, I'm like, come on, guys, you guys are the corn people.
Oh my gosh, we gotta write in those suggestions for their front office.
Right, exactly.
Maple.
All right, Star Wars or Jaws?
Oh, Star Wars for sure.
Okay. Kevin Costner as a cowboy or a ball player?
I'll go with a ball player.
And last question, what is your go-to baseball movie?
I'll say Bull Durham. And the reason why, the manager I had in Myrtle Beach, I know this is supposed to be rapid fire. Is this okay to tell?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So the manager we had in Myrtle Beach, he's still there. His name is Buddy Bailey. He's the active winningest manager in minor league baseball history. He's, I think, about fourth all time. He's just a great, amazing guy. We were riding the bus back from Frederick. This is, I think, 2017, maybe. And, you know, you watch movies on the bus, like the players will bring DVDs. Somebody popped in Bull Durham, which obviously, like you asked about a favorite brand, like Durham Bulls is going to be up there for sure. And he normally never says any, I only heard him say like three things on the bus ever. And they were never good, right? You never want the manager to say stuff on the bus because normally it'd be reaming at the players. One of the times was we did win the championship and it was a good thing. But so he stopped. He said, stop the movie, stop the movie, stop the movie. So he starts talking to the players and he's saying, I was the manager in Durham in 19, 84. And it was in my office one day and the GM of the team came in and he said, hey, there's this guy who's making a movie about minor league baseball. He'd love to meet with you. Like, do you have a few minutes? And he said, yeah, of course. And they hit it off. And the guy kept coming back throughout the summer. And because of how welcoming the 1984 Durham Bulls were and how welcoming Buddy was to him, the characters in the movie are based off of real people. And so, like, if you look up that team, there's it might be 86, but I think it's 84. There's a player who is significantly older than everybody else. And obviously that player is Crash Davis. His real name is Mike Reynolds. And like Buddy was saying, like even like the, you know, some of the women in the film and things of that were real, you know, real people. And obviously he is the manager. And this guy, people don't know this, like this guy who's the all-time winningest manager who's still going right now, still in Myrtle Beach, is literally the manager in Bull Durham. And he told us like 2 years later, he was back in Durham and they were in Salem, Virginia. And I guess it was raining. So this Salem GM called the hotel and said, listen, like you guys can't do early work today. Game's probably going to get rained out. So Buddy, this is pre-cell phone. So he called all the rooms the players were in. He said, we're going to do a bus to the mall, you know, at noon or whatever the time was. So the team buses to the mall. It just happens to be the premier weekend of Bull Durham. And so the 1986 or 88, if I have my years mistaken, Durham Bulls saw the premiere of Bull Durham together as a team. And I thought that was the like our players.
That is the coolest.
Insane, right?
Yeah, that is the coolest.
Our play, I mean, my mouth, like our players' jaws were on the floor. Like of all, like we knew this guy is a legend, right? Like I think you know that me as a radio guy. We're working with him. Players know that, you know, this guy's been around a long time. He's worked with Hall of Famers and All-Stars. Like, you know that going in. You didn't know something like that. And we just thought that was the, you know, we were watching that movie just like, hey, laughing hysterically anytime the manager character came up. And all the players were like, hey, buddy, like, who is, you know, who is so-and-so? Because they had the baseball reference page pulled up. But I mean, that's the reason that's my favorite baseball movie. He's just been so good to me in my career. You know, he'll text me. I have a 2-year-old now and another baby, as you know, Jim, like very close to coming. And, he'll text me like, you know, ask about the baby. I haven't worked with him now for 4 years and that's the kind of guy he is. And
that's amazing.
So successful as he truly cares. So yeah, that I couldn't not for one of my best closest, you know, friends, I would call him that I've met in baseball, you know, outside of broadcasters, I could not say that because he is in a way a star of that movie.
Well, all I want to say is how did we ever win 8? Scott Kornberg, you are the voice of Jacksonville Jumble Strip. Thanks so much for jumping on. Let's get to, and we are so excited to get down there and cover you guys.
We're so excited to host you guys. Safe travels down here to Florida. Thank you so much for having me on, and hopefully I wasn't too long-winded for you.
Now you were perfect.
Ladies and gentlemen, please adjust your scorecards. We have a special guest in the lineup.
And we are super excited to welcome Let's Get To Jordan Price. She is the in-game host for your Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, and she's got the Shrimp and Ain't Easy shirt on. How's it going, Jordan?
Yes, my favorite, because, you know, Shrimp and Ain't Easy.
No, it's always busy. Not. but a beautiful experience. We had a great time at the ballpark. I was curious because I got connected to you through Eric Mertens, who said, I have to definitely have you on the show. And I listened to what Eric Mertens tells me to do. So tell me a little bit about you, how you ended up. He's the best. How did you end up becoming sort of the in-game host for the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp?
So I'm actually going on year 9 with the baseball team in general. So I cheered in the NFL for 5 years. We have a 5-year rule for the Jags. I finished that. And whenever I transferred over, they were the Suns and they had a cheerleading team. So I coached their cheerleading team for 2 years. Ken Babby came in, took over. They were like, we're not going to have the cheerleaders anymore. And I said, you know, I love baseball. I love being out here. Is there something, that I can do? And they said, you know, we need an in-game host, MC. And I said, all right, I went to school for communications. Let's put my degree to use. And, you know, the rest is history. I think I'm on like year 6 or 7, maybe 8, doing the in-game promo. So it's a lot of fun. I'm trying to make it a year 10 next year. Hopefully I can.
What keeps you coming back? It's hot. It's humid. All those things. Why keep doing it for these 6 years? What does it give you as far as just satisfaction goes?
I absolutely love it. You know, I'm born and raised right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I cheered 5 years in the NFL, so I'm used to the heat. I'm used to sweating it out. So the humidity, I'm used to it. So that doesn't bother me. It's the fans, it's the games, it's the entertainment aspect. Yesterday was like my first time ever getting nervous. I never get nervous. And so I really thought about it yesterday. And I was like, you know, if it wasn't for the fans, I don't know like how you know, how to transpire that fun atmosphere and whatnot, because they keep me entertained. And we have such good season ticket holders that come back and they're so nice. And some of them I don't, you know, see often, but the ones that I do see all the time, they're so nice. And so it's just that entertainment factor. I love to entertain. So I just keep coming back. And now that I have a daughter, she comes to the games.
Oh,
and
wow.
I have a picture of her face seeing me on the Jumbotron. And I was like, oh my gosh, it melts my heart.
I love that. I mean, and it's such a baseball thing for you to be passing it down from generation to generation. It's really mm-hmm. the best way how it works.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of teams don't have an in-game host. A lot of teams do. And the ones who do, I think it's more fun. Why do you think your role is sort of providing a connective tissue from the entertainment point to the baseball? Why do you think it's so important to the atmosphere?
You know, sometimes baseball can get a little, I don't want to say boring because it's not boring, but it could get a little, you know, meh. And so our, you know, fans can get caught up in their talking to their friends, or, you know, Thirsty Thursday, they, you know, get in their little drinking and they forget about there's a game going on. And so for me, I'm getting in there that little snippet of 2 minutes and, hey, let me entertain y'all for the, like, get you back into the game. Let me get you sidetracked, you know, back into it. And it's so much fun. And for me, I've noticed there's a lot of men that are MCs. And so I haven't seen many female MCs. So I want to be that eye catch. I want them to be like, oh, there's a girl out there. Like, what? And I want to entertain them. So I think for me, it's just making sure they get back at, hey, there's a baseball game going on. You know, I know it's 5 o'clock somewhere, but hey, we got some fun things on the field.
Well, you actually kind of transition. You are a communications major. You transition perfectly into my next question. You are a woman working in a majority male job, and you also have a daughter. How important is it for you to be a face for the game, not just for little girls out there, but normalizing it for all the male fans? I mean, how do you sense that level of responsibility?
Somewhat. So I have taught dance since I was probably about 15. And so I knew from a young age that I wanted to be a positive role model. And then when I became an NFL cheerleader, it was definitely like, you can have the brains, you can have the beauty, you can have the dance ability, you can have it all, but you can still master and accomplish any goals that you want to. And so when I transitioned over to baseball world, I quickly realized it was a male dominance, which I get it. It's understandable. But I wanted to show that females can be in sports and females can bring some fun. It doesn't have to be just about looks. We can bring a lot more. So now that I have a daughter, it's become even more fun because I'm like, look at her. She realizes mom and I get to do something fun and cool. And I mean, right now she doesn't know that it's fun and cool, but eventually she'll see. So I just want to show anybody that they can do it. You can put your mind to it. I know, you know, public speaking is not, I guess, what was it? Number one fear in America.
I think it's the greatest fear in America. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. somebody asked me about that the other day. They're like, you don't get stressed. No, the bigger the crowd, the better for me. And I can't look in the crowd. It's a weird thing. Like, I have to look above the crowd because if I look at somebody, I'm going to get not distracted. I'm going to give it like, hey, are you watching? Like, like blonde moment there. But, you know, I want to connect, but I also know I have a job to do. So, you know, I got 2 minutes to get on and off, but I also got to pay attention to what's going on in the field. So I just want to make everyone know, like in kids in general, that you can do it. Just because it's male dominance doesn't mean anything. You can bring something to the table.
All right. Last serious question before we have some fun. Prep time. I mean, how much prep time do you put in before each game? I know, especially with all the theme nights and alternative identities and things like that. I mean, how hard is it to keep it all straight?
It's actually pretty easy. we have a day before the season even starts. We go over all the games and whatnot. So that gives me a heads up of, okay, what can I talk about for this game? What can I say? Some games that we do, there's not much changing of the script. It's pretty obvious of what we're going to do. So when it comes game day, I get there like an hour and a half before game. I look at the script, review it. And then it's kind of not wing it, but I know what I'm kind of going to say. I'm already prepped in my head. I think what I get nervous about is the ad-libbing, because okay. I'm so focused on what I'm doing, what the contestant's doing, make sure the contestant's not running on the field, trying to tackle a player or anything like that. I think it's that ad-libbing. That's what my fear is. My fear is just a player, like one of them running after a player. And I'm like, oh Lord. But I did have a kid one time. They were supposed to be running the bases. She ran out the center field. I'm like, oh, great. Let me go get her. And then I had one completely stop what they were doing, just sat right there in the infield. So you had to run and go pick them up and continue the promo. I mean, I've had a few like, oops, but nothing terrible yet.
Nothing terrible yet. Right. It reminds me of the kid in Houston who they told him he could steal second base and he literally tried to pick it up and take it with him.
Yeah. So we have that game. And I always say, that's one of my ones that I do not change what I have to say. I'm like, you can go steal second base, but not the real second base. Please, Lord,
no. Absolutely. All right. Let's play a little pepper. What is your go-to ballpark food?
Oh, hot dog for sure. But it's got to be a good hot dog. It can't be like the little bitty ones. It's got to be the good ones.
The ones that have been in foil for a day and a half and you're like, oh.
What is yeah, this? And I ain't about that life. I need hot and fresh.
Okay, Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Okay. What's the strangest thing you've seen at a ballpark?
Oh, Lord.
This one always trips people up.
I mean, I guess when we have theme nights and some of the people, I mean, I don't want to talk bad about them because they're great, but some of the things they come dressed in, I guess you would say, some of the costumes, I'm like, it's 100 degrees outside and we are fully dressed in the costume. Like they are really committed to it. I guess it had to be some costumes.
Yeah, I interviewed Thor on Marvel Night, and I don't know how this guy did it. It was 104 degrees in Frisco, Texas, and he was in character the whole time. I was
amazed. There ain't no way.
No way.
I know. I feel bad for our mascots. At least they have like the ice vest on, but still, there ain't no fan, no circulation, no nothing in there.
I didn't know there was an ice vest. That makes me feel so much better.
Oh, yeah. We have a little freezer in their locker room and they have ice in the front and the back. And that's what keeps them somewhat cool. I mean, I would prefer probably a fan in the hood or something. But
in the head. Yeah. All right. Dogs or cats?
Dogs for sure. I worked at an animal hospital for 10 years and no, I ain't about the cat life.
What is your favorite team brand in minor league baseball, but not the jumbo shrimp? You have to exclude them.
Oh man. So I did hear, is Montgomery Biscuits, are they AAA or AA still?
I don't actually know. I should. I'm doing a show about this stuff, but answer your question and I'll research the answer.
Okay. Montgomery Biscuits, I heard that they actually throw out biscuits into the crowd. So I would have to say that I like their little logo. But I do got to say, you know, Akron Rubber Duckies. My favorite color is yellow. Rubber Duckies. Why not?
I think
Rubber Ducks.
It's quasi-appropriate that I have the Rubber Ducks hat over my Jacksonville, the comic selection hat you guys did. So it's like, it shows synergy. And Montgomery is the double. It is a double A team. All right.
Okay.
What is the first time baseball broke your heart?
I guess whenever some of the players leave or we release some players, I know that's not, it's the name of the game. You know, they're constantly changing. Back in the day, we were able to go in the dugout for our promos and you make friends with these kids. They're a lot younger than me. So I look at them as my little brothers. And so it's so much fun, you know, to see them go up to the Marlins and have their first start. like Jordan Yamamoto. We were talking to him in the dugout, and then the next day he's pitching for the Marlins. And it's like, that is so cool, you know? Mm-hmm. But then you become friends with them, and they're like your family. And then they go to another team and you're like, oh, that's so sad. But you want to see them do great things. So I guess it would be that you make relationships and friendships and, you know, family with these kiddos. And I want to say kiddos because they're like 10 years younger than me. But
hey, I get it.
I know I'm getting old.
Calm down. I'm 46 years old. We're good. All right. Star Wars or Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones. I've never seen a Star Wars movie ever.
That's amazing. I think it's amazing. We'll see. All right. Kevin Costner as a cowboy or a ball player?
Oh, that one's hard because I love cowboys. You know, I live in the country. I live in the woods. I grew up on all the cowboy, John Wayne movies, all this other stuff. And then you got baseball. I got to say both. Because okay, I love baseball, but I love cowboys. So...
All right. When
just watching Gunsmoke like 2 days ago.
Really? Wow. You do go back. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
When you go to a new ballpark, where's your favorite spot to sit?
Oh, so I had two. So when I first visited the Marlins Stadium, I wanted to be out in the outfield, which, you know, there is enclosed. So it's outfield, but you're still in the ballpark. I liked it out there. I like to get the big view to see what's going on, but I love to be up close and personal with what's going on. Like, I like to be in the action. I don't know if it's just like my personality because I'm used to it, but I have to be like, my favorite is up in there. I got to see what's going on. They actually let me say play ball when I went, I think 3 years ago.
Oh, great.
So I loved it. I was like, yes, I need to be front and center. Like, this is great. But then I also like being out in outfield.
I love that. I'm a behind home plate guy. Last question.
See, I love it. You get to be up in the action.
Yeah, absolutely. And you get to yell at the umpire and you know he hears you. I don't know why that.
I can't at my games, but when I go to other games,
yeah,
maybe.
My favorite is wake up. You're missing a good game. All right. My last question. Whenever you're missing baseball and it's the off season, what is your go-to baseball movie?
Oh, Sandlot. I have a 6-year-old nephew and he is obsessed with this movie. He spent the night like 2 weeks ago and I think we've watched it 3 different times. And he can quote it. He can do everything. And so I never realized haven't watched it in years. And so then at the end, when the old guy actually played, I was like, oh my gosh, I put two and two together, man. So like, I haven't seen it in probably about 15 years. So now I'm like, oh, now that I'm involved in baseball, I know what's going on with the movie. And so I actually learned some stuff with the movie and whatnot. So I was like, maybe I should watch it more. I didn't even know there was a Sandlot too. So
from what I've heard, you can miss it. Jordan, thank you so much for being on Let's Get To You. This has been a blast and good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks. Have fun on your trip. It'll be a blast.
Beer, beer, everybody speaks in ear.
Holler and a swaller, a chug of ballpark brew. Presented by The Hitter Sports.
No, I want this one.
No, you don't. You want a local beer.
I like this beer. That's part of the show. He's got the local beer.
We've got a lot of drama going on here. This is Holler and Swaller. I'm wearing the Holler and Swaller t-shirt available for sale on our website. Patrick is here from baseballmapper.com.
True, thank you.
Why won't people let you drink the beer you like?
All I want is Yingling. When I come to a ballpark, give me Yingling. That's right. All I ask. That's all I want. Give me Yingling. I'll try the local stuff, but if I see Yingling.
Yeah.
On draft, in a can, when you're from the Chicagoland area and you can't have this sweet little nugget, you want it.
You want to know how desperate I am to make sure a bit comes together? Feel this can. It is room temperature.
Lukewarm.
And out here
that's lukewarm.
Room temperature is 98 degrees.
That's true.
But I wanted to drink the local thing, the shrimp boat that's for the team. Is this your first time out here?
This is my first time. And actually, we made it to Intuition Ale, which is one of the, I think there's 23 breweries on a Jack's Ale Trail Passport Stamp Brewery Tour, 23 breweries. Our friend Glenn was nice enough to show us around. We got all kinds of flights. We made it to Intuition. I was told to wait to have Shrimp Boat. Had that in the ballpark. What do you think of that?
I actually really like it. It's very light, and it's very perfect for sitting in a hot day in Florida watching a baseball game.
That is what today is. Hot.
That is what today is.
It is hot and sticky. And when you come to Florida for baseball, you're going to expect it, but we've been looking forward to the shade for a long time.
Absolutely. I mean, it's now getting where it's almost tolerable, so yay. Overall thoughts of the experience here, though. I mean, again, your first time as well, and you guys travel as much as I do.
Right. We have never been down to Jacksonville. I didn't realize how big Jacksonville was as a city.
I believe it's the biggest geographically in the country.
It is weird. Really big city that you kind of, I think we all sleep on that a little bit. Almost a million people, I think.
Yeah.
And that's not counting the suburban. I don't know what goes into that. But so much to cover, so much to see. It's nice to know somebody in the local area. The ballpark is gorgeous. Now, we came from a ballpark in Charleston, was gorgeous too, a little smaller. This is a big park. I still haven't seen all of it yet. So
right. And again, shout out to Glenn, who will put his Twitter down here, who has basically made, cheers, he got us like a, we have the whole porch to ourselves.
This is the Tiki Bar area.
We're in the it's Tiki wonderful. Bar, and it's our bar. And the best part is I get to tell people to leave.
Yeah.
Like, sorry.
This is ours.
Private party.
Sorry, we have the whole Tiki Bar out here in left field.
Well, everybody knows that I'm a big fan of you guys and your site. Where are y'all headed to next? Are there any more trips this summer planned yet?
That's a great question. We actually are leaving tomorrow morning on our way to Nashville. We're wrapping up this tour. It got us through South Carolina, Florida, and Tennessee. We're going to stop by, see the Sounds, another great ballpark. Been there before, wonderful. The other guys have not. Let's take it in. Let's enjoy it. Get more gear. That's what we typically do. Find some good beers.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, right. If you're out there and you're a baseball nut, and chances are if you're watching this show, you are. You have to be following these guys. I can't tell you how many times I've messaged you being like, dude, I found three extra teams to see because of these guys. All right.
Glad to help.
Holler and a swaller, baby.
Cheers.
Yeah, that's lukewarm and rough.
From the bleachers, the Let's Get To Game of the Week.
And welcome to From the Bleachers. Although we're not coming to you from the bleachers, we're coming to you from the home run porch next to the Tiki Bar. There's actually some debate over exactly where I am geographically. And with the way my travel schedule has been this summer, that's not a surprise. But we are coming to you from the home of the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. It's Miami Vice night. You're telling me baseball and something 80s? I'm all in.
Some baseball happened. We had a good time. The end. Wait, I think I'm missing some important background, so let's back up. Members of the Curved Brim Media team descended on that most iconic of minor league teams, the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Representing was our show, the Dad Hat Chronicles, and BaseballMapper.com, and we were looking for all things a baseball game had to offer. Fun, fellowship, and a baseball family. We got all of that in spades. The Jumbo Shrimp has a brand on the cutting edge of minor league baseball. It's fun, the colors are distinct, and the folks behind the brand are able to pivot that main look and do a bunch of fun alternatives. They play on a pristine patch of green in Florida's northeast corner, providing locals and traveling fans alike an excellent place to watch a ball game. It's a park that feels modern with a variety of seating options and ways to consume the game, and at the same time, it reflects the history of the game and the baseball past of Jacksonville, Florida. Of all the places we could have met up, this was perfect, and we didn't end up there by mistake.
So we do have a special guest, and we're here with Glenn Wieger, who put this awesome weekend together. We've got the Dad Hat Chronicles, who you'll hear from later. You already heard from the guys from Baseball Mapper. First of all, thank you for bringing us all together.
Thank you guys for coming out. I know it's a big expense. I know travel's not easy, and welcome to Jacksonville. I'm glad you could come to this little part of our world.
Did you know that you were bringing me to Miami Vice Night? You're basically matching me with the 80s. It's where I live.
I did not know. I mean, we're North Florida, so we're not exactly Miami here. But we'll take it, and it's a fun night, so I'm glad you could come.
So you have been a Jacksonville fan for a long time.
I have.
The rebrand, what did you think of it, and how did it go over? Because you know as well as I do, because you're a big baseball traveler, sometimes they're hits. Sometimes they're misses, and sometimes they stay misses and don't turn into hits. How did it go for Jacksonville?
Well, we had a massive petition saying how this was destroying baseball. We had a famous theme song saying baseball's never been hotter than with the Jacksonville Suns. This has been the logo for 40 years. People are like, we will never follow baseball again. And then you know what they did? They set record attendance. The line was an hour long to get in for basic gear. I mean, it was the old trope. Go to the kids, market to the kids, and it will be a success. And I think it's proven that. I mean, look at tonight. Yeah, this is awesome.
Tonight, it is probably 75% full on a regular Saturday night.
With a little bit of COVID still out there. So
yeah, exactly. People are still. So you're also a baseball traveler like myself and Ed and those guys. I know you have some trips. I know you're following me on one.
I'm literally 2 days behind you on several. Charleston.
But what are some places you're looking forward to going to see?
I'm actually looking forward to the South Bend Cubs. I have a rule of I do not like teams named after their parent club.
I'd like to point out that Paul Caputo and I want this to be a constitutional amendment. So if you're listening, President Biden or whomever, constitutional amendment, you cannot be named after the parent club. Sorry.
Seconded. But I'm looking forward to that. I've heard it's a good ballpark, good family-friendly. We're also hitting West Michigan Whitecaps, which you just came back from.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to actually going to some that lost their affiliation, the Charleston Dirty Birds.
Yeah, we'll be out there, too. I'm curious about that, too. It's interesting you bring that up because I was a guy that was on this story very early and was very doom and gloom about it, and it seems like it's actually worked out better than people thought.
I am too. I mean, Charleston is such a rural part of the world. It's very unique. And I'm just like, this affiliated baseball really seemed to actually have a hold there. And they took it away. And I don't understand why, but they seem to be thriving. So I'm curious to see how things are going there.
Yeah, I think it's, I am too. Well, Glenn, again, I love the fact that you put this together. You started planning this thing like 6 months ago.
I'm an engineer. I mean, it's all we have to do. We just plan.
But I love that because I planned my travel so far in front. It was not hard to say, okay, cool, I'll go to Florida. So I really appreciate you bringing everybody together. It's been an amazing time. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad you come out. And, hey, we should do this next year, get more people. We'll do it again. We just got to pick the location.
Eric
Mertens.
But
it'd be Lehigh.
Oh, yeah. Let's do the Iron Pigs.
I'm thinking Iron Pigs. Iron Pigs. I'm just throwing it out there.
Oink, oink. I don't know if they do that.
And a big shout out to the guys from Baseball Mapper for representing well with two awesome first pitches. Even though they were fourth to throw the pitch. Baseball's weird. The Jumbo Shrimp create a party where everyone's invited, from the GM on down to Scampi, the mascot.
We've got Scampi, everybody, with a quick interview. Scampi, what's the best part about being here? Totally agree. I've only been here for one day and I totally feel it. Well, that's all from Scampi. Back to you, whoever.
How?
The shrimp helped us reconnect with friends, meet some new young fans like my guys Logan, Jaquan, Jackie, and Caden, and seeing some new young at heart fans. Even Tops, the Around the Hornosaurus, had a great time. A great day of baseball and buddies. Now, cue the fireworks.
Show me the merch! Fashion. Baseball style. Presented by the Baseball by Design podcast.
And welcome back to Show Me the Merch. We are visiting the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, having a great time. I've already picked up a really cool hat. Let's take a look at what else they have to offer with the Jumbo Shrimp.
First, I have to love the advertising here. What better way to draw a crowd than reminding you that this is one of the few AC spots during a mid-June game in Florida. The city of Jacksonville labels itself Bold City, and their local nine lives up to the moniker. The Jumbo Shrimp might have the best combination of cool brand and lots of merch that represents that cool brand. The team store is large and robust, with all of their looks awaiting ready and able wallets. On-field fitted hats, dad hats, other varieties. All their styles, all variations, all sizes readily available. Their team works hard to overcome the supply chain shortage that we've seen all over the industry and all over minor league baseball. They have all their main jerseys, all bold in their own right. Lots of fun t-shirts and alternative cap designs, several kind of novelties and collectibles, and I love, love, love that they have a youth section. It's one of the best all-around brands in baseball. Cutting edge, forward thinking, bold.
So remember, guys, make sure you're buying your Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp directly from them, either online or, even better, get yourself out to the ballpark.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
The seventh inning stretch. What's going on outside of the ballpark? Presented by the Dad Hat Chronicles.
Oh, last question. Y'all are Visit Jacksonville, right?
Yeah, Visit Jacksonville. Okay.
One of the ones we did was Experience something or other. And I was like, yeah. Insane, but thanks for confusing it for me. So we're very excited to welcome, as we continue to talk about our time in Jacksonville, Katie Matura from Visit Jacksonville. Katie, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me today.
You're very welcome. It is truly our pleasure. And a little bit of how the sausage is made. This is actually the interview we record before we go. And then we interview the team after we go, because we want to know what to do when we get there, for as much as our benefit as our audience. So give me some broad strokes of what there is in Jacksonville that someone like me is going to want to take in.
Yeah, absolutely. Most people don't have an idea of what they're going to see before they get to Jacksonville. So we usually surprise people, and they usually say, wow, the people are so nice. It is so beautiful here, and it's really clean, which we always laugh about, but because it's not something that we are always talking about, but it's a true statement. So Jacksonville has more water and shoreline than any other city in the state of Florida. So when you think of Florida, you think of lots of water. We've got over 20 miles of beaches, over 50 miles of the St. John's River, which is the largest river in Florida, and it flows from south to north out to the ocean. So from down outside of Orlando up here to Jacksonville. And then off of the river, we have tons of tributaries and creeks, marshes. And so tons of water. Wherever you go, there is water. And so that also leads to great fishing, water sports. We've got, you know, deep sea fishing, river fishing, marsh fishing, backwater fishing. So a huge fishing destination, though a lot of people don't know that about us. So we are, and you can do it with a pole on a pier. It's not, or off a bridge. You don't have to have your boat. You don't have to take a charter out off the coast or something to do it. So water sports wise, boating is big here, jet skiing, 20 miles of beaches, nice wide beaches. So closer to the beaches in like the Carolinas, where you can see 200 yards out to the water. A lot of Florida beaches are short. And so lots of space to enjoy. So over 20 miles of beaches, and then leads up to water being around a lot of our green spaces. Okay. People don't really know that Jacksonville has the largest urban park system in the country. So over 400 parks, we've got national, state, and city parks. So anywhere you go, we have a little park next to it. And sometimes it's a historic park. So if you're downtown attending the Jumbo Shrimp game and you go across to the South Bank, you'll see Treaty Oak, which is, they say, a 100 and something year old oak tree, more like 300 or 400 or something year old oak tree that is just off the banks of the St. John's River, and was saved by a newspaper man who didn't want the tree to be torn down when they were developing the South Bank. And so he told everybody that it was, a treaty was signed between the natives and the people who were settling Jacksonville. And so they couldn't tear it down. And then it came out that he made the whole thing up. But at that point, it was a great old tree, which is just one of those you, as you're walking into it, you just don't even realize. You're like, oh, this looks like a tree. And you walk under this immense, crazy tree, and people get married under it and have events under it and stuff like that. And anyone can access it any time of day. So that's the way our parks kind of sneak up on you. We've got all these great preserved lands, beaches, parks, and lots of cool things to do, splash pads for kids and things like that. But they're just everywhere in the city. We have an amazing, I think something that everyone will get the chance to experience when they come here is our historic neighborhoods.
Okay.
They all have little entertainment districts within them. So from downtown, within a mile or two, we have five or six historic neighborhoods that you can just go in and explore. Places that have craft breweries and great restaurants, shopping, stuff like that. And it's all really close together. And so it's easy to explore a bunch of that in a given day. And that's the top stuff that we tell people to do if they're coming to Jack's for a few days.
One of the things that I'm interested in, you know, is your role as a CVB. You know, you had mentioned that not a lot of people know what to do when they get to Jacksonville. And it is because, you know, Florida, you have Miami, Daytona, Orlando, all these other places. How hard is that, or how important is that for you guys to keep sort of ringing the bell and letting people know what you all have to offer?
Oh, immensely popular, especially because all of those cities have been established tourism destinations for, 100 years. So they have so many hotels and so many things to do, and some higher rates too, that gives them a bigger budget than us. So we have to be really smart with what we do. Setting Jacksonville apart and making sure that people realize that it is not like the rest of those other places is what I consider my top job. Like, I want everyone to be like, hey, I didn't know that about Jacksonville. And so our hashtag for social media is only in Jax. You can't do this anywhere else. So how do we really talk about those things that make us so special and so different? And that is one of a top, like top focus, is that every single day we focus on making that happen. And we do it in creative ways that maybe people hadn't thought of, and then they're surprised by it. So taking our best attributes and telling people about them and how to access them is really important when you're coming to a place for the first time.
I love that. You mentioned good restaurants, good breweries. How important, first of all, before we hit some of the high points, how important is it for a community to have a unique food culture and alcohol culture that sort of represents them?
I think it's a quick way to get people interested, because when you go on vacation, you're going to eat out. If you like to drink beer, you're going to the craft breweries. You want to check out the distilleries. That's the one great thing about vacation.
For one, I would always hit up at Chili's and get a Budweiser. I don't know.
Don't say it. I mean, it's a chance when you're on vacation, you're already spending your money. You want to find the things that are local, and you want to, you're not going to cook in your hotel room. You're going to go find a place to eat, even if it's just a sandwich that is at the best sandwich shop in the city, or a coffee at one of our top coffee shops. You want to go experience what the locals would say is their favorite meal to have in Jacksonville. So setting that apart and showing, I think Jacksonville, something people don't know about our dining scene is it's super casual. So even our top restaurants, you don't have to dress up and put a jacket on. You don't have to, you know, you've got the, you know, if you can't get a reservation that night, you can get a reservation the next night. It's not like crazy hard. Uh-huh. And you can go for happy hour, and most of the top restaurants, like the fancy restaurants, have like amazing happy hours. So it's like finding the chance to get out and explore it and just walk into places and be like, oh, this is cool. I love what they've done here. And they've got, you know, shockingly, some of the stuff that really stands out for food items, like, you have to eat seafood. It's Florida. It's mandatory. But we're known for our shrimp, hence the jumbo shrimp, our baseball team. But Mayport shrimp is world famous, actually. And it's larger shrimp that are caught all off of the coast here, right off of our coast or in our river, and with our shrimp boats that you see when you drive around the river out by the beaches. So it's one of those things you have to eat. But it's Florida, so it's the South, and we've got barbecue that's amazing as well. We've got a lot of great taco places. Tacos are taking over Jacksonville right now, but that's kind of fun because they're all different and they all come up with fun, clever ways to have that experience. So it's
I might have to try a taco, only because I'm notorious for being like, well, I'm from Texas, I'm not going to eat a taco outside of Texas. Sure. And I had one in Tennessee and I was like, this is different and good. So now I'm all like, I have all the tacos. There we go.
Oh yeah, I gotta do it.
You know, and our window to visiting you guys is the baseball team. And the jumbo shrimp, you know, at a national level, it's huge. It's one of the more respected brands. You know, how important are they in their role in the community and sort of bringing people out?
So I don't think you can have a bad time at a minor league baseball game. And the jumbo shrimp do a great job of giving you that experience. What's really cool is it's right in our downtown. Like the stadium is in our sports complex, which is maybe a quarter mile, half a mile from the rest of downtown Jacksonville. So you really are immersing yourself when you're there. If you go out and walk on the backside of the stadium, if you sit in the bleachers at sunset, you see the most epic sunset with building the arena behind and stuff like that. You go out the backside, you're going to see the skyline. So I think it really is ingrained right in our culture of our downtown area. All of our sports, the Jaguars is the same way, and our other sports that play in the sports complex. So, but the Jumbo Shrimp is just such a family-friendly experience. And I think that who wouldn't say, oh, I'm in town tonight, I don't have anything else to do, I'm going to go to a Jumbo Shrimp game. You know, it's affordable. There's, you know, they serve shrimp dishes in the stadium.
So it's funny because we, you know, we do the show and my wife is a very, very much a San Antonio girl. And that means certain things. And so we went to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels and they didn't have elote or any other corn dish in there. She was like, what are we even doing here? So she'll at least be happy to know that I'll at least get some shrimp at the ballpark.
Yes, definitely.
Well, and I guess last question then, you know, we're driving people to come visit you guys through baseball season, but what is the best time of year to come down there? I mean, is it the summer or is it fall or spring?
So we do live in Florida and it is a little hot in the summer. So if you are not someone who loves the heat, I would say the spring and the fall are the better times to visit us. So we say like starting beginning of March through, you know, mid-June is beautiful time to visit Jacksonville. And then in the fall, October and November, oh, it's my favorite time of year, October and November, everything's still really green. The water in the ocean is warm and the temperatures are more in the low 80s versus like that 90s and above. I mean, coming in the summer, you're going to get the best deals. You're going to have, you're going to love the beach. You're going to, everyone has a pool at every hotel. So you're going to have that opportunity to be in the water and stuff like that. But it is a little hot. So if you don't react well to that, you're going to spend a lot of time in the AC and we'd rather you see our outdoor spaces. So if that's something that affects you, we'd say come in the spring or fall because it's the best time. Even winter, fishing is great in the winter. Surfing is good in the winter. So it's some of those, if you, Jacksonville, we try to tell everyone, if you want to learn to surf, this is the place to do it. We've got easy waves, more professional surfers than every other city in Florida, which is just crazy. Most people don't even know that about us. So yeah. finding whatever time of year, I mean, it's pretty great here. It's hot in the summer though, so that's the only thing I warn about.
I'm at least glad that I'm a Houston boy, so I'm going to be prepared for the humidity. But you know, Katie, sounds like you're describing the best kept secret in Florida. I mean, I'm really excited to get out there.
We say that people tell us that, like I said, people are always so surprised when they come here. They don't realize Jacksonville, one, is huge. And you come from Houston, so you know big cities. Jacksonville is the largest city by land mass in the continental United States. So over 840 square miles in our whole city. But the difference between Houston and there is that a lot of ours is that green space and open land. So it's not settled in neighborhoods, people and stuff like that. So we're a little more open and you have a chance to, you know, immerse yourself in some very quiet places. So,
well, you have definitely got us excited, Katie. Thanks so much for jumping on Let's Get to You and sharing the secrets of Jacksonville.
Great. I'm so happy to be here. Can't wait till you get the chance to see it.
And now on to close it out, the right-hander from Houston, Texas, James Christopher.
And that does wrap up this episode of Let's Get To You. I'm with Ed Rivera of the Dad Hat Chronicles. Make sure you're following him on Twitter. New ballpark for both of us.
That's
overall,
right.
What'd you think?
It was an absolute blast. We love it. Ballpark is beautiful. The people are awesome. And the weather was great. So I just can't complain one bit.
Outside of us working and sweating, yeah, it actually was a really nice night.
Yep.
Particularly for Florida in June.
In June.
Let's talk about Glenn for a second. Glenn
right.
and the family putting this together.
Yep.
How much fun was it to get to hang out in person with everybody?
It was a lot of fun. We, you know, like they just drove us around, lots of cool places to go see, lots of awesome food. I think I gained like, you know, between 20 to 30 pounds, honestly, in eating, but it was great. They were awesome, great hosts.
Amazing hosts. All right. Real quick, where are some places you're heading to next while I awkwardly grab my props?
Awkwardly. I don't know yet. I haven't really decided where I'm going to go next. I know for sure we're going to do some ballparks around the area, probably go back to Durham, Fayetteville, and maybe The Sharks over in the Coastal Plain League. So
I love the Wilmington Sharks brand.
Yes.
I wish they sold more stuff online.
So do I.
Because it's awesome.
It is awesome.
I'm
it really is.
I'm a Sharks guy anyway. It's great.
Yep.
All right. Well, that wraps up our show. So make sure you get out to your local ballpark. Get out to see some minor league baseball, indie ball, or collegiate summer league. Get you some peanuts. Get you some Cracker Jack. And
Let's Get Two.
Let's Get Two is presented by Twitchy Dolphin Media. Executive produced by Jessica Bybee Jedgetts. Produced by Andy Tomchesson, Scott McIntyre, and James Christopher. Associate producers Andrew Nelson, Timothy Jedgetts, and Jess Canaster. Music by Andy Bertelson, Grace Usselman, and On Holiday. All content created by Let's Get Two is the sole property of Twitchy Dolphin Media. All content created by teams covered in the episode are the sole property of the trademark holders. Let's Get Two is a proud member of Curved Brim Media.
This podcast is part of the Curved Brim Media Network. Here are some of the other members of Curved Brim Media.
Hi, I'm James Christopher, host of Let's Get Two, and we are going to be taking you on a tour of this great country through the lens of minor league baseball. That's right, from sea to shining sea, we're going to be looking at towns big and small as we explore the greatest game ever invented.
This is Patrick.
And Corey.
Of BaseballMapper.com. And we have made an interactive map to help highlight all baseball teams from the majors down to collegiate summer leagues.
We want to bring you closer to baseball, so get on the site and find a team near you today.
Hi, this is Ed Rivera of the Data Chronicles. Join me as I interview people just like you and players, coaches, GMs on the path that led you to become a fan of the sport.
What's up, Bucketheads? I'm Anna DiTomaso, and each week on the Baseball Bucket List podcast, I speak with a different fan about their favorite baseball memories, what the game means to them, and what's left to check off on their baseball bucket list.
Hey guys, this is Patrick Larson from the Minor League Baseball Hat History Series, and in every episode, I go through the history of minor league teams through my personal collection of hats. You can find me on Twitter at @PatLarson1. I hope you guys enjoy.
And I'm Paul Caputo. I tell the story of America, one minor league baseball logo and nickname at a time on the Baseball by Design podcast.
Learn more about Curved Brim Media at curvedbrimmedia.com.